with like things that people need to like make, like 3D printers and like other maker type.
There was someone who was going to do this maker space.
There's a maker space in Calgary
already.
Yeah, it's proto space. Yeah.
I heard
maker
space didn't happen. Like it was all just like a plan.
Right.
And,
I almost joined proto space.
And then proto space is definitely
happening. Yeah, and I don't remember which one, what he was with, but he said he like recently moved here and wanted to
make maker space.
Makerspace was going to be kind of like that. So for anyone in kind of the product design engineering, like it's like a co-working space, but more for production and tinkering.
Yeah.
And
the one that like Protospace had 3D printers, a woodworking area, a metal shop, a laser cutter, and a few couple other things. And it was all, and you just paid like a, like it was like 10 bucks a month or 3 bucks a month.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool. You get 24/7 access to the place. And that's all you pay. 30 at like, 20 or 30 bucks a month.
And that makes a lot of sense.
Plus,
obviously, like buying.
Yeah, and then you
yourself.
Also get, and then you just gotta provide your own materials.
Hmm.
That's
yeah.
It. And they,
so
but there's so many
equipment.
Scrap materials there, and there's all these companies that donate to it.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of materials there.
Sweet.
Anyway, we're
going.
Yeah.
I've already started it. We're just going like this. this is how I started the last week.
Cool.
A sneaky. Just take the edge off, like no formal introductions. So. So here we go. Local Love Podcast, numero uno, or dos, I guess. Sponsored by nobody. Nobody at all yet. So if you're listening to this and you're looking to sponsor an up and coming awesome podcast, this is the one.
Yeah.
And let's just have you guys introduce yourselves quickly, if you don't mind. Just a quick 30-second minute intro kind of thing, if you don't mind. So let's start with you, Vidya.
Sounds good. So my name is Vidya Crawley. I'm leader of ATBX, the new business accelerator launched by ATB Financial. Basically, I am here to support and empower entrepreneurs and help build a more diverse local economy by helping entrepreneurs get to market quicker.
Right on. Next up, Rob.
My name is Rob Ironside. I'm running a local social enterprise here in Calgary called Do It Green. And we're part of the ecosystem here, bringing Calgary into the 21st century in terms of responsible waste management. Mainly in the event world, getting into some venue spaces, and it's
fun. Right on. Aiden, next up.
Yeah, so I'm Aiden Klingbeil, and I'm the founder of Mow Snow Pros, which is Calgary's first on-demand lawn mowing and snow removal service, snow removal app, I guess. And so basically, you can click a button on your phone, and somebody will show up and shovel your walk or mow your lawn.
The Uber for snow shoveling.
Landscaping, snow
shoveling,
and lawn mowing,
all that stuff.
Exactly.
Right on, good, on-demand stuff. So let's circle back to Vidya. So right now, we're actually on, what is this, the fourth floor?
The fourth floor of the Connaught Center.
Connaught Center, just outside of downtown Calgary. And how long have you guys been here? Tell us a little bit more about the ATBX initiative.
Sure. We launched exactly 1 month ago, actually, celebrating the first month of ATBX.
Ooh.
Ooh. We are a business accelerator. We take on a cohort of 20 businesses at a time. So our space holds about 50 entrepreneurs across 20 businesses, and it runs for 3 months at a time.
Right.
So we've got, you know, Aiden and Rob and 18 other businesses part of the first cohort.
Yeah.
And we surround them with strategic support, with mentorship, a co-working space, and really building a sense of community to support them as they grow.
Yeah, that's pretty unreal. These guys are already talking about how they're sad a third of their state has already flown by.
Withdrawal
symptoms.
Exactly, yeah. I'm just like thinking of the end, and I'm like, what am I going to do after this? Who's going to take me in?
I can't go back to coffee shops.
Back to the cold streets.
There is a transition plan for the businesses, so we've been told.
Right.
Apparently, we don't get stuck with coffee shops after this. We've been promised.
Okay, good. Aiden took me on a little tour around here like 2-3 weeks ago, and I couldn't believe, I was really blown away by how awesome the space is, and I could totally see how the co-working environment and like the accelerator environment would just, you'd feed off each other, and also just the amenities, like the fact that there's a gym a few floors up, like free coffee, like all the little things are done right, and right now we're in a meeting room, one of what, like a dozen of these?
At least,
on the same floor, and there's just more than enough space. I think the workshop thing is really a cool idea. As for this idea itself, what was sort of the origin of ATBX? Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, it came about as kind of an evolution of ATB's commitment to be the bank for entrepreneurs locally.
Right.
And so, you know, just over a year ago, they launched Alberta Booster, which is our crowdfunding platform. About 6 or 7 months ago, the Entrepreneur Center launched, which is kind of a community space and a learning environment for people who want to start a business.
Right.
And this is kind of a natural evolution of, you know, how can we leverage what ATB has to support entrepreneurs at a deeper level?
Yeah, that's awesome. You mentioned Booster, so I'm going to send it to Aiden. I know you were practicing your pitch skills right before this, I think.
Yeah. So we have a Booster campaign that we just launched about a week and a half ago now. And so, yeah, as part of the Booster campaign, there's the opportunity every few months, ATB also runs a pitch stage event and selects six businesses, or this month it's six businesses that are going to pitch on stage. 3-minute pitch, 400 audience members, and yeah, basically they get to vote for and boost whichever business they think had the best pitch, is the most compelling. So.
And it's next week.
Next week, next Tuesday, December 6th. So
you got a good crew coming, or what?
I'm trying to stack up a crew.
Yeah.
You got to stack the audience in your favor a bit. So I've got some friends and family that are gonna come out.
Yeah.
And yeah. Rob's laughing because I'm missing our championship volleyball game.
Yeah,
oh,
and I
on our
the volleyball team together.
Oh.
And it's playoffs next week, and he's like, "Sorry guys, can't come
to
play
this instead."
Wow.
And none of them are gonna come to my pitch now, so
that's
five less people that can be in the audience.
That's your only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We're all playing volleyball.
Yeah.
No wonder you offered to send me money to come vote for you.
Exactly. If I send you $20 and you pitch 30,
that's worth it.
It's a good return.
Rob, what's some of the sort of extracurricular stuff you've gotten out of the space other than just having a sweet place to set up? Like any of the workshops and stuff you go to, or?
Yeah, no, definitely the workshops. the workshops in the community and having a place to work. So I share a little working area with another business that I'm involved in, and just being there and talking about what we're doing and what we're trying to get through, and working with them, and just being, because right now I'm the only full-time employee of Dig. Aiden's the only full-time employee
right.
of Most Snow Pros, and to just have somewhere to go to talk, like every conversation you walk by is always about something related to what we're all going through. So that it's mainly just the space and having that community.
Yeah, that kind of intangible that goes along with having a floor full of like-minded and passionate people, I guess.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's pretty much it for the whole podcast. So we'll see you later.
It's a quick one tonight.
No,
that wasn't too bad.
No. So there was a little social going on before this. What was that all about?
Just as I open another beer.
That's what it was about. Drinking.
we had a bit of a mingle with some fine folks at PwC. It was called Talk Nerdy to Me.
Wow.
So if you just think of all the nitty-gritty aspects of running a company or a business, all the kind of unsexy behind the scenes, whether it's accounting or legal issues or corporate structure, they brought their team of nerds to talk to our entrepreneurs. So you could ask questions one-on-one about whatever you're struggling with, get some advice, have a couple beers, and no scary invoice at the end of it.
Yeah. That's
all
pretty sweet. They, I like how they brought the local tool shed. How did that end up in the room? Or was that you, or how did that happen?
I think they picked tool shed, but tool shed actually has worked with ATB before. We're big fans of Graham and his crew. They've got a really cool kind of entrepreneurial story and journey behind what they do. If you ever get a chance to go do a tour at Toolshed, you'll hear all about it.
I was just at the brewery last night for a fundraiser event that we were actually contracted to be at. But yeah, they did a really good job. Like, they have, the cool thing about a brewery is like, okay, their main thing is brewing beer, but then they just like, they did a really, and other breweries have done this, but they did a really good job of turning their brewing area into an event venue.
Yeah.
So everything is, because they're called tool shed, everything's barn wood or pallet wood or ropes or things like that. And then they turned this like little back room, and then they have these like blue and green lights that they turn off all the lights.
That's
and there's
so nice.
These blue and green
sweet.
Like reflector
That's
lights
cool.
that go off all of these like, I don't know, 50-foot tall tanks. And
so how many people were there, and how many people do you think it holds?
It holds a couple. You can easily fit a few hundred people
for
an event. The Northern Beauties, a local band, played.
Yeah.
But there's about 100 people there at the event. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's pretty good.
Nice. Well, maybe I'll have to have one of my events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have to.
I'm already looking
for
the next place.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Tool shed.
That would be solid.
Mm-hmm.
so Rob, your business, kind of dive into it a little bit more for us. I just actually looked at the website today.
Yeah.
And perused it pretty well.
Yeah.
But for those people listening that know very little of Do It Green, what's up with it?
Well, we're part of an ecosystem here in Calgary that, like I mentioned, that's just trying to bring Calgary, catch Calgary and Alberta up with the rest of Canada, and then hopefully together Canada as a whole can try to catch up to the rest of the world in terms of, you know, what we call responsible waste management. So, you know, right now, we produce over 1,000 kilograms of landfill waste per person per year in Alberta. Nova Scotia produces 386. Japan, as a country, produces 330. So we're quite a ways behind. And the programs and the initiatives that we're starting now are programs and, you know, initiatives that other provinces started about 10 to 15 years ago. So we have a lot of ground to make up, and we'll make, and the goal that's set is to make it up in about 3 years. So by 2020, that we're kind of achieving the same results that they are.
Right.
So we have a long way to go in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of infrastructure, a lot of culture, a lot of education, a lot of service providing that's going to have to change and update, and we're just playing a part in that.
Right. Cool. Yeah, that's a big task to take on, but I think a lot of people's minds have, like, not necessarily switched, but they're going in that direction, so hopefully that bodes well for you. What are some of the collaborations and events and stuff that you've worked on? I know that's a big core of your business is the event side.
So we cut our teeth in the event world, just through everything from service providing to program design to hauling and auditing and everything. And our biggest task every year is the Calgary Stampede. It's the biggest event in Calgary. And this year we diverted over 18,000 kilograms, or about 50,000 pounds. Of waste.
That's amazing.
Of compost, just purely compost from the Stampede in 10 days. So you can imagine 5,000 pounds of compost a day. Plus we did all the bottles and recycling as well from the Midway. So
that's a ton.
It's a huge team. It's a huge project. They're investing in it. We're going to grow it next year. And we're going to keep doing that. So it's definitely our biggest project, but
how did you get involved with the Stampede then?
The story at the Stampede is a few years, and we found somebody in the organization who was a champion of what we believed in, and they brought us in and just broke down the doors for us, because we needed an entryway. And then now that we've been there for a couple of years, we're now starting to work with all different kinds of aspects of the Stampede. So we were involved with the parade this year and with the Fluor Rope Square down on Olympic Plaza, and we're getting involved with a bunch of the Stampede breakfasts and things like that. So
that's sweet.
It's just going to continue to grow.
Sweet. I use the cliche of saying that's a ton. It's actually 23 tons.
Yeah.
In fact.
That's
a lot. That's a lot of waste.
Yeah, exactly.
And like before you came around, that was what? Just going to the landfill?
The compost would have been,
yeah.
Absolutely. So,
now where does it go?
Now we for the Stampede, we use a really awesome local composter called PEL. There's a number of industrial composting facilities in Calgary, and they all have different markets, different targets, different end products, different things like that. So the waste that we collect fits really well with PEL, and we have a good relationship with them. It goes to an industrial compost facility, and it becomes compost, and it becomes soil, and gets put back into the
good old fashioned composting.
Good old fashioned composting, industrial version. Yeah,
sweet. All right, Aiden, you're getting antsy over there. I can tell you, like, back and forth in your chair, like, I'm up
all
next.
All over the place.
This is nothing compared to 400 people next week, man. This is nothing.
Yeah,
got a lot
this
to prepare before then.
We're going to have at least four listeners.
Yeah.
They can't even see my hand actions or anything.
Yeah, you can just go crazy.
I was
crazy
told open hands.
Yeah.
Invites the audience in.
Oh, is that right?
So, yeah, that was a pro tip.
Today. What are some of the other, like, just come
just,
to me?
Yeah,
come
just...
on. Listen.
Confidence and be
yeah.
open with the audience, and
yeah.
you probably won't even see them because it's
dark.
Right.
Oh.
The light's on you.
Oh, okay.
All you see is a light.
Yeah, you'll just see a big bright light. So
yeah.
yeah.
right. Well, it sounds like you're off to a good start.
Pretty much, yeah. It'll be a good experience.
Yeah.
I think just have lots of pitch practicing this weekend to make sure it's refined and get what I want to say out there. Yeah.
Sweet. So with your business, Most Know Pros, give us some background on that, how you ended up starting this company. I know it's taken a lot of leaps over the past like 6 months, so
yeah,
kind of give us the
For sure. So I guess the original idea, it all started back when I was 13 is kind of when I started my own landscaping business, if you can call it that. I really just did lawn mowing, snow removal for some neighbors in my community, and did that for about 9 years and kind of just built it up so that I reached my capacity. It provided me with a number of jobs I wanted to do each week, and it was great. I loved it because it was
13 years old.
Yeah,
just killing it.
Exactly, just
like,
making it big.
I had a newspaper route that I had when I was like 13, and I think I quit after a week. So good on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuck with it.
Yeah, stuck with it for a while. But yeah, never really wanted to hire employees or went that route, just because it was something that I love the flexibility of it. It was something that I, when I got into university and went through that, I could keep running it and pretty much help me pay for university and get me through that.
Yeah.
So that was kind of what I loved about it and why I did it. And now I want to bring that opportunity to other people by basically hiring local service providers across communities in Calgary and give them that same opportunity that I had by providing them with the, I guess, platform, and kind of we give training, marketing tools, business support to these individuals that are basically looking to do landscaping jobs and run their own business through that.
Like whether it be supplemental income or whatever
exactly.
The case may be, right? Like,
yeah, so some people are doing it a bit more full-time, and it's totally up to them. We want to keep it pretty flexible. If you want to pick up all the jobs that are on the app at once when it snows, great.
Yeah.
If not, or if you're away 1 week, then somebody else will pick them up, and that's why we're kind of making sure we have people all over Calgary so that we can provide the services as quickly as possible, especially with snow removal. There's quite an urgency there.
Yeah.
So having somebody nearby and in your community is great, and we just want to provide that experience where it's like, back in the day, you used to be able to call up your neighbor or have that neighbor kid that would be able to just do the walk, and we've kind of moved away from that a bit as a society, and so we want to enable your neighbor to basically be able to sign up for the service and shovel walks around their community.
Right. And so you also do, in the summertime, you got the mowing going on.
Yeah, we got the lawn mowing, so exact same thing. You need a bit more equipment. I guess as a service provider, you need a lawnmower. But same thing, we just want to empower people to be able to go out and mow lawns and do that as their summer position. And so we think it's a great opportunity for university students, especially in the winter. It can work out around your classes. Like, just like it kind of had for me, that's the market we're going for who we're hiring is, university students who do have classes and can just go out and see, there's this walk by the university that needs shoveling, or they're at home studying and, it's snowing, this walk came up. And then, of course, in the summer, they're all off. So kind of have that 4 months to really, go out and do lawns and kind of generate their own business as well through the platform.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of like a college pro.
Exactly.
College pro meet tuber.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Sweet. Kate, well, we didn't have a real introduction, so we're going to take a minute or two here, just a little intermission and a quick breather, and we'll be right back after this lovely song. Just couldn't think of anything.
This is my girl, right? So, I don't know the song.
Can't go wrong. All right, we're back with at least one idea of stuff to talk about. I'm going to send it back to Vidya here. Why don't you tell us like a little bit about some of the other companies that are here? Obviously, there's a limited amount of time. You can't name drop all 18 of them. So the ones that don't get mentioned, like, just live with it.
Yeah, it's not personal.
Yeah.
But we've got a great mix of businesses, which is what's really nice about ATBX. I think it's quite a variety.
Right.
So we've got a few tech startups, either people who are building apps or web-based platforms. So, you know, Aiden would fall under that group. We've got Yakker, who are building an online collaboration platform. TickTix, who is basically a fan-based ticket exchange platform as well. We've got a few service-based businesses, so I feel like they actually sometimes get left out of things like accelerators and support networks for entrepreneurs. So I think it's really important to include people who are in the service-based industries.
Yeah.
So Rob would be in that. We've got a few that do some digital strategy consulting, others that do kind of media buying and advertisement placement as well. And then we've got product businesses, so people who actually make and manufacture things.
Right.
From artwork and designs to local, ethical, Canadian-made apparel through Alberta Apparel. It's quite a nice variety.
Yeah, that's sweet. Was that intentional at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The interesting thing we've noticed, like just in this past month in terms of the collisions that happen in the hallway, I think entrepreneurs who are at a similar stage have more in common than entrepreneurs who are necessarily in the same industry or sector.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's really cool to
Good
see
point.
Them share their experience and struggles. How do you go out and get your customers? How do you market yourself? How do you set up your business structure?
Yeah.
All those things.
For sure. Yeah, and even just hearing other people's progress and where they're at,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of compare yourself to them,
of course, yeah.
and use that as a bit of a kick in the butt to be like,
yeah.
okay, they're there, we should be there. What am I doing? Like, what do I need to put into this to get that far? Especially after, like we kind of said at the beginning, both Rob and I think came kind of from working from home a lot and didn't have those connections with other entrepreneurs, and so that's tough, just because. Yeah, you're kind of in charge of motivating yourself, doing like the work that you think is right, but then as soon as you talk to some other people, you're like, oh, maybe I'm a bit behind on this, or you get that outside perspective that you didn't get when you're, of course, just working on your own.
Right.
Well, and the other, like, the interesting thing is just, like, I don't know, was it yesterday? Like, Aiden came into our little workspace and asked Ozzy, who I share that space with, he's like, he asked Ozzy about, how did you did the booster? Like, do you have any pitch advice? Because he's now in this booster campaign, which Ozzy did last year. And was like, I don't know, you've done this before.
Perfect.
Like, you've done this exact thing.
Yeah.
And I'm training for, like, what went well, what didn't go well.
Yeah.
And so, in addition, like, doesn't matter, you know, there's really no similarities between Green Cup and what you guys are doing. But
no,
you guys
totally
both went through.
Businesses.
There's still, like when you're starting out, it's like, where do I get resources from?
Mm-hmm.
How do I do this? How to do that? And like all that backhand stuff, even the stuff that we went through today, like with PwC and taxes and corporate structure. And it's like, we may have completely different businesses, but we're all still a business.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting and not something that I think a lot of non-entrepreneurs or even, you know, big wigs might not think about.
Or want to be entrepreneurs. You're like, oh, I'm going to join because I really believe in this one thing, but it's okay. Running a business isn't implementing that one thing. It's actually like the people running it are the ones doing the corporate structure and the app development and all that
exactly,
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
just
kind of take on a lot of hats.
Making things happen every day or pretty close to.
Trying to learn on the fly.
Yeah.
It's surprising how many businesses have already kind of pivoted even in the short amount of time. So we started out with kind of a strategic planning session with, you know, what are your strategic goals you want to achieve in the 3 months? And, you know, by the end of week three, I think quite a handful of them have already pivoted and changed the way they look at their business model and
entirely.
How they're going to go to market.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's good.
We did that for sure.
Yeah.
That happened.
It's kind of like it's a scary thing at first, but then you accept it and you realize that this is probably for the best.
Exactly, yeah.
Just embrace
it. It's just related to that whole getting that outside perspective. Like, being on your own and doing it yourself is, you think you're doing it right, and you're like, okay, we're getting some traction with some of this stuff, and then you kind of talk to these other experts or other businesses or whatever it may be, and they see immediately like, okay, yeah, that's good that you're doing that, but what if you did this?
Mm-hmm.
Went about it that way, you get this many more customers, way better return on investment.
And
then you're like, oh, obviously. But I thought of that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of pivoting to that. So.
All right. Well, I don't want to bring up the doom and gloom, but it's in 2 months, it's over for these guys.
Yeah.
You're going to have a nice new crop coming in hot. 20 more businesses, 20 always
more
20?
Businesses, yep.
Okay. So what, if someone's listening to this right now, what... I know there's at least one of you. What do they got to do to get in here for free office space and all the extras that we mentioned earlier?
For sure. There's a couple things. You just head over to atb.com/atbx and you can see all the 20 businesses listed. So we get a sense of who's in the cohort. There's also a form there. You can express your interest if you want to be part of the next cohort. And I'd also say for anyone social media to follow us at #ATBX. So on there, you'll see what all the different businesses have posted, what they're going through each week. Sometimes they're sharing videos about what the journey's like. Sometimes it's sharing what kind of expert insights we're getting. And it's a good way to follow along.
Right on. And so are you part of the committee that decides who gets in and who does not?
I believe I am.
Yes, you're trying
I
to keep this under wraps. You're like, I don't want to be. I don't want to be a target. All right, maybe that was a little too direct. But what are some of the like? What's the checklist looking like for someone that wants to get in here?
Yeah. So the main thing is that we want to attract entrepreneurs who are at the product market fit stage. So they've likely already established their problem solution fit in terms of what problem they're solving and for whom. They're in the doing stage of their business rather than just the planning. So
right.
They've likely had their first group of customers
right.
or are close to getting them. And
yeah.
this stage is really about market validation. This is the time when you could potentially be pivoting quite a bit. You could be tweaking your business model, but you're out there trying to see how the market's going to respond and what are all the support and connections that you need to get there. It's really about who you know rather than just what you know at this stage.
Right. Okay. So that's the main thing is you kind of have a proof of concept at this stage, and anything else that they should focus on, like an aspiring entrepreneur or a hopeful entrepreneur, any other tips you might give someone in the
early
stages?
I think we're open to having the conversation. Like, as you've heard, the variety of the type of businesses we have in here is really nice, and that's a key element of building that community. And we're really about diversifying the local economy. So we want to hear from all kinds of entrepreneurs in different industries, different stages. Let us know what you're going through and what you'd hope to get out of an accelerator program, and
yeah.
we'll see if we can make that happen for you.
And I poked around on the ATBX site as well. So there's, what, like a dozen of you that would kind of do this sort of general intake. Is that correct or no? On my way out to lunch here. I feel like there was like 12 people that were on the website that kind of all have their own little specialty.
On the entrepreneur website, I think we have that, where we have a team.
Right.
So at ATBX, we're a team of two here, but we're actually going to connect our businesses to the whole ATB network.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a chance to meet some
yeah,
senior executives within ATB. We bring in other experts from the business community as well, and then you also get... you get a mentor that's handpicked for you and matched with your business.
Yeah, okay.
So
okay.
you come out of the 3 months with quite a big roster of contacts, I'd
yeah.
say, to help
mm-hmm.
you make it.
I think that's what I might have been looking at was the mentors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so the application process itself, is it online or is it interview? Is it all of the above? What's that like?
We will eventually be doing likely some phone interviews, but for mm-hmm. now, if you let us know you're interested on the website, and
yeah.
then we'll reach out in January.
Nice.
About the next steps, and then our intake will start in February.
February when? Is it a quick punt?
We're out
like
of here.
These guys are just these guys are just gone.
Oh,
like...
we'll let them go gently.
I'm gonna just squat on my office.
Yeah.
Just sit on
really
the desk.
Leave, yeah.
Who's this new guy?
Maybe,
get out of here, bud.
Exactly.
Do you have squatter's rights after 3 months?
Yeah,
no,
I feel like
no.
that's something.
Yeah.
If I spend the last month just sleeping here, it's
got to be a couple other empty areas in this
yeah.
big building.
Exactly.
We're helping them to build connections with some other co-working places in Calgary,
right.
like the Commons, for example, so
yeah.
to help make the transition and, yeah, really give them other places to go to as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we went on air. We were talking about the cool co-working space trend that's going on. So what was the one you were talking about? There's one in Marteloup I hadn't even heard of. Or it's
there's
get,
a new arts
up.
And culture-based one called C-Space in Marteloup
right.
that's starting. And then we were talking about a couple of the maker design prototype kind of
yeah.
spaces as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have probably been looking at that, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's this, like the Commons, which is pretty near to here. There's the Collective 1212, which
yeah.
is based at Inglewood. there's a handful of others, and they're just spaces where you pay monthly to rent a desk and be a part of a.
Is it all pretty much the same ballpark as far as cost and benefit?
Pretty much, I would say that are the ones I've looked at.
It's always tough to judge. Right now, and
from
of
a bird's
course,
eye.
It's an added expense. But now, kind of after this 3 months here, it's like that expense, it's probably worth it. There's like we've been saying, there's a lot of value in just being surrounded by those similar individuals, and
it's making like a couple hundred bucks a month.
Yeah,
these places,
right?
And couple of, depending on what kind of services you want. So
yeah.
The value you get out of having a working space is, like, you think you can do it. Like, to all those aspiring entrepreneurs, you think you can run a business, like, working from home in coffee shops, and it's not fun.
No.
You think it'd be great. It's not. It's not great. You, like, having somewhere to go is great.
You can for a while, but...
Having a good
home
base outside your actual living room where you're just going to play video games or whatever you do in your living room.
Yeah.
It just builds structure to your day.
Yeah.
Somewhere to go, it can only do work. Yeah.
Which entrepreneurs probably lack in general, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And even if, and this place is 24/7, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yep, they get access 24/7.
Even
sure.
if you're kind of like me and you're a bit of a night hawk and maybe some of your good creative ideas come to you at night, you just, at least you have somewhere to go and you're actually going to stay up for a couple hours and work on it.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
good.
And it's nice too. With that said, like, I feel like I work better in the afternoon and night, and it seems like that's the mentality of a lot of entrepreneurs here.
Yeah.
And so every time I show up at the office at like 1 p.m., I feel bad, and then I get into my corner, and I'm like, oh, no one else is here yet. It's cool, and they come in at like 2 or 3 and work until later hours, and you're like, okay, that kind of confirms it's I'm not just like a slacker who can't do mornings. No, it's like. That's just the mentality, I think, of a lot of people, and get their creativity later in the day.
Yeah. So what are some other cool businesses that, and again, there's 18 businesses in here, but if you guys could each maybe single one or two out that you have, whether it's a personal relationship or just respect for the business itself, maybe give a couple shout outs just to a couple of the other businesses that are in here that obviously can't be on this podcast.
Specifically in HBX.
Yeah. Or, well, actually, you know what? Go ahead. Do whatever you want.
Just like business
any
in Calgary.
Business,
like
any Calgary.
Oh, okay.
Whatever comes to mind, really.
In terms of shout-outs.
Yeah.
I there are a lot of businesses in ATBX that I would love to give shout-outs to, because the thing about entrepreneurs is that they're really passionate about a very specific thing, and you don't realize how... You learn a lot when you talk to somebody who has a business in an area, so it's like... You know, TickTicks, for example. I had no idea the world of ticket sales and the role that Ticketmaster or StubHub plays in that. And then you talk to them for 10 minutes. You're like, oh my god, this is so broken. Like we're all being conned.
Yeah.
And they're trying to fix that and offer a better solution. But if I had to call out one business in Calgary, I would probably call out Vacova. Which is an organization based over by the University of Calgary. They are like a mental health and mental and physical disability organization that does like a bit of everything. So they have a bottle depot, for example, that they use, and they employ people with physical disabilities. It's like it's something as simple as a bottle depot. It's like, okay, well, if you're choosing between bottle depots, I mean, this place is, and then they use the funds to drive their research, and then they have housing programs and employment programs and everything, and they're a fully funded business along with research and grants and everything. They do it all, and it's all around research and creating opportunity for people with limited access to them. So
boom, it's a great show.
And they're like nation known. Like they like there are like provinces all across Canada who refer to Vacova, and I think they're a little
how do you spell that?
VECOVA. Yeah, so if a COVID if you have bottle depots, they'll come pick up at your house.
I never really know what they did. I just I've taken my bottles there. And
because it's the closest one.
Bottle depot.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like really, really good social enterprises.
Yeah.
You can't tell the difference between them and
a regular
business. But in addition to running a business, they're also creating some good in the social.
Yeah,
in the social
and that's
sense
the whole
the
win-win-win philosophy, which is
yeah.
what
so
you're going for.
The multiple bottom line.
Yeah.
That's what we're going.
Sweet.
Oh, now it's four.
Yeah. I'm just
going to
keep adding.
Keep adding extra.
Yeah, it's the same multiple bottom line.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it really is about building brands that build community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you identify as a social enterprise or not, and we've even got some nonprofits in our cohort, in this day and age, to succeed as a business, you're really trying to, you know, create that base of raving fans, those evangelists for your brands. And the only way you can do that is really to create something beyond just the product or service that you sell.
Yep.
And whether you're designing an app or creating a product, there's an opportunity to build a community there.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs are thinking towards it and kind of moving towards nowadays, and that's what I really like to support.
Sweet. Well, looks like you got that going on here for sure, so that's good. What about you, Aiden? You got anything brewing over there?
Yeah, well, I've just really enjoyed talking to Hafiz at Play City. So Play City is just very, it's a similar type of, I guess, marketplace app to us, in that they're facilitating two sides, and they offer an app that connects people who are looking to basically do activities in a city with partners, kind of pairs them up with somebody, like if they're looking to play squash, they don't really know anyone, it'll pair them up with somebody locally to at your same skill level to go and organize a squash.
Yeah, that's a good example too, because I like to play squash, and I have
one or two
friends that play squash.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
Even then, it's like, it's tough to get people. Squash is a weird game in the sense that skill level varies really quickly.
Yeah. And it matters a lot. You don't want to play someone that's
not
your skill level.
If someone's too good for you, they're just going to destroy you.
Yeah.
It's going to be laughable.
Exactly, yeah. So, and just his business, like, it's very, obviously, we're both apps. We both facilitate both sides of that marketplace where he's trying to connect to individuals. We're also trying to connect service providers with customers or homeowners. And so we've had a lot of good talks so far, which I obviously wouldn't have gotten really if I wasn't in this and wasn't connected with him. And yeah, just having those similar experiences of trying to, like, okay, as an app, as a local app, how do we onboard customers? What are our onboarding processes? Should we be emailing people and trying to connect with them and say, we're a local company, and how do you follow up with customers and how do you get them? And so he's offered a lot of insights too about kind of partnerships and the value that that offers, which again is another way we might pivot, where we were trying to approach a broad market, and now it might be, okay, maybe you can reach that market by going through partnerships, then it's a lot cheaper than throwing a bunch of marketing dollars to try and reach homeowners. So I've had good talks with him.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Play City, that was one that actually stuck out to me quite a bit, just because I'm kind of somewhat athletic, or at least I used to be. And I like those kind of, some of those weird sports, like, not weird, but individual sports that it can be tough to find a place to play.
Yeah. And his other big example, I think, is tennis, was kind of why he started.
Same thing, sports in general.
Yeah. But he's there's so much opportunity there for that. So I've had multiple conversations with him. And now he's incorporating drop-in schedules for different facilities. You just go on their phone, like, find the places near you that have drop-in.
Yeah,
like, they're with their schedules. And you just have it
put
all
that
right
in
it's
there
all
too.
Right in there. So it's really about, like, encouraging active lifestyle. So where can you go? Who can you go with? What do you bring? You know, that kind of stuff.
It's got the community feel plus the whole health and wellness movement, which is great.
Yeah,
everyone.
Yeah, in the future, yoga studios, cycling studios, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, this is near us, and this is what I can go to, and these are the times. And
it's like such a, it's a very broad idea that's just a great premise.
Yeah.
Right?
And
so
the fact that you can
see it blowing
up all of those gyms or yoga studios or wherever, whatever it might be, because you're basically offering them service that's bringing people into their business.
So
it's not obvious we're big fans of him. So you hiring, because
I'm thinking about making
my work
scalability.
Thinking about making a real big pivot.
This whole lack of snow is really affecting me in the off season. So
it's a non-snow thing, but we'll play tennis all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to sit down with
beautiful
you.
November. I'd rather play tennis outside.
He's going to hear this and come over. Come on, guys.
He's going to be pumped, man. He's going to be like, well, I got like a good 3 minutes on that podcast. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Good shout out.
All right, well, let's take another quick break here. Why not?
Yeah. They say I should be a strong man, but baby, I'm still filled with fear. Sometimes I don't know who I am. Sometimes
yeah,
I question
right,
what I'm
awesome.
Here. I just want to be a good
so
guy. Will I be?
So
I have no
good.
Idea.
Well, Mascot would
have
been
that was kind of his pivot, right? Rather than going after individual users, to think, how can I partner with venues and tap into their users who maybe want to be better connected to what activities are happening?
Well, now it's huge for me, like, thinking about that too. It's the same thing with me. It's like, how do you tap into.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
You kind of came up with this idea. It was like, talk to travel agencies or something.
Yeah.
And go to travel agency and be like, hey,
or
you guys.
A vacation service. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys offer, like, you book trips. Why don't you add this as an add on? It's no really, if anything, it provides
you imagine,
for
like,
property
you
management
yeah,
companies
like,
or people
say
are
that
away.
Yeah.
What is your vision? Like, what's your big, like, what would be the ideal situation? It's like, you go into a travel agency, you say, okay, I'm booking a week long trip to Mexico. And they're like, great, for $10. Or $20 or whatever it is, your shovel will be walked if it snows while you're gone.
Walk your shovel.
We can walk your shovel
for $20. Yeah.
We don't walk anything. Yeah.
We'll take your your
no,
shovel for a nice
walk. Your driveway will be shoveled while you're gone. And he's like, oh sweet, like okay, well $10 on top of my thing.
That's
like a partnership
so,
avenue.
And it's no extra. I guess burden on the travel agency if anything makes them seem better that they're kind of thinking about your needs. So yeah, just different partnerships like that, and I think they've done a great job in that pivot, and that's definitely got me thinking about what partnerships can I get into that again will just help me like be good for both sides.
Absolutely.
And help me grow that way.
The bigger fish, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a smart play in general, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So. Vidya, you've done some entrepreneurial things outside of ATBX, is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been a business owner, started a retail business in the farm-to-table space, as well as an e-commerce venture, as well as supporting local makers.
Nice, sweet. So you were doing that for a few years. Like, how did you get in this role at ATB is kind of where I'm going with this, because it seems like a really cool, fun role to have where you're an entrepreneur.
Yep.
Which is awesome because it's kind of the best of both worlds in a sense.
It is exactly the best of both worlds. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I started my career as an entrepreneur in engineering and tech and looking at social innovation and how companies can kind of transform with what's happening in the world. And then decided to roll my sleeves up and do it myself. I kind of call it like a real life MBA phase. So instead of, you know, just getting more theoretical education, just get out there and see who you can connect to and what kind of problems you can solve. And for me, a lot of that was building a local economy by supporting local farmers and local makers and creating a marketplace for that. And I was in the UK, and I've moved back to Calgary, which is my hometown.
Oh, nice.
And just seeing the entrepreneurial movement here really take off. And I was looking at, you know, who's really empowering entrepreneurs in a real way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I heard about the ATB Entrepreneur Center and looked into what ATB was doing in that space. And it's a genuine commitment. So.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, it's 6:10 right now, you're still kind of on the clock, so
Hashtag startup life. We're a startup too, so you know, like ATBX is like a startup within a big company, so we're responsible for kind of developing and rolling this out. This first cohort is kind of like our minimum viable product to see what really resonates with entrepreneurs, what's the most value they're going to get out of an accelerator, and then we reiterate and improve as we go along.
To answer that question, it was the chocolate sponsor. we have a chocolate sponsor for this space.
That's
and up until recently, there was unlimited chocolate. And we need a restock. So.
People abused
it. Chocolate restock.
Yeah, we need a chocolate restock.
It got abused, didn't it?
It did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We got to keep a steady flow of caffeine and sugar.
Yeah.
Possibly beer as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
yeah. All key
ingredients
for
a beer sponsor.
Tool Shed, please.
Come on.
I want them for the podcast. You got a lot of sponsorships to do there, Graham.
Yeah. Everybody wants your stuff for free. I mean, so, please.
Yeah. pennies on the dollar. All right, deal.
Exactly.
I was gonna ask you something else about the. Yeah, it's gone.
Okay, we'll roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob, what's your? You have one partner, don't you? Or
I'm like the sole guy running. There are founders of Dig that
right.
have kind of taken more director roles, like board of director positions.
Okay.
Help out on some of the back end stuff, but
right.
yeah, in terms of day to day operations and committing.
Yeah.
To a full time, I'm the only guy doing it. So
okay.
I had a guy, great guy, who worked all summer with us.
Okay.
Yeah. Stuff like, but yeah.
Is he like a student? Is he back to school now? Or?
No, he was a new grad. So there's a phenomenal organization in Alberta called the Alberta Cooperatives and something else that starts with C Association.
Yeah.
Community and Cooperatives Association. That's what it is. And if you hire a new grad through them, they have a grant program that is accessible to businesses to hire new grads,
okay.
helping offset the costs.
Nice.
To bridge that gap for. New grads of you need experience to get a job, but you can't get any experience because you don't have a job.
Yes,
so that whole situation.
Class
so
22, yeah.
Classic
22.
Dilemma. So they try to help offset the cost of hiring new grads to get them those first couple of years of experience.
At Alberta Community
and Cooperative Association, the ACCA. Yeah.
Sweet. That's right on.
Yeah, great for any business that needs to hire and,
yeah.
and is willing to hire a new grad.
Yeah, or if you're on the flip side of the coin and you're looking for a gig.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they do both ends. So
yeah,
businesses can go to them or individuals can go to them and say, this is who I am, this is my skill set, and they'll go to businesses and say, hey, we have this new grad for you, the perfect fit.
Yeah.
And try to find you a spot.
Sweet. And I saw on your website, you have a position available, or are you kind of always just looking for talent? Is that sort of a
So the general thing is we're always looking for. We're in a bit of our off season now, so we hire a lot in May, June time for staff that are looking for some part time work,
right?
At events because we really want to hire everybody and anybody. So if it's been moms, brothers, cousins, sisters, family, friends, colleagues. Whoever, and they all come out and we pay everybody and it's just to be on the back end of what we do and to see what we do at events, everybody just leaves going like, wow, I can't believe from everything to realizations around the way that people treat public spaces to engaging with people sorting their waste and things like that. So we give them a training on how to properly sort waste and then they go and they execute at these events and they just always leave going like, wow, I had no idea. I mean, we always think like we start off a lot of our workshops or trainings or whatever with the thing is like, what do you do with your garbage? And it's like, oh, we throw it away. I'm like, where's a way? Right? Like, there isn't like, a way doesn't exist.
That's
right?
A good
like,
point. Yeah.
A way can be a recycling facility, it can be a landfill, it can be a composting facility, it can be any of these things. And it's really an out of sight, out of mind problem. And so half of what we
big
do
time.
is pulling that curtain back and saying, actually, you know what? That blue car gets emptied and it still exists. It doesn't just disappear once it empties, once a vehicle comes by and empties that cart, whether it be black or blue or eventually green.
Yeah.
It doesn't just disappear. It's all a part of our systems and we spend a lot of money on it as taxpayers. And it's astonishing to me about how little we ask about that
how
system.
Little we know
how little we know and how little we ask.
It's
gone. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, it's gone. I'm like, okay,
hey,
great. Like, you've had a like, here's a perfect example. I'm gonna put Aiden on the spot. this is what we do at our type things is you go, you live in a house, right? You have a blue car.
Yeah
Where does that blue car go?
I think
name
you told
the
me
facility
a weeks
name
ago.
Business name anything about what happens
it
to
goes to a recycling facility.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any idea of
large
how that works?
Facility.
And
not a clue how it
how works or what
no,
what
or
they're
where
looking
it is.
For.
No,
who
glad
runs
this
it
isn't
or,
me.
No, yeah, right.
And that's the thing.
You
it's,
don't know
it's
why.
Spent, we spent millions of dollars on these things, and everybody in Calgary has had a blue card for five, six years at least.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Nobody knows where they go. If you ask a 10-year-old, they do. Because now it's part of our education system, so the Calgary Board of Education
is
like playing a big role. So if you have kids, your kids know more about waste diversion than you do, because it's in the schools. But yeah, and it's that, you know, we spend, everybody knows that where waste goes, but we spend a lot of money. We all have these blue carts, and all the extent of the knowledge of the average Calgarian is that I put these materials in a blue plastic vessel and then they disappear.
All right, so enlighten the
I've
people.
Done my part.
Tell the people.
Well, in general,
where does it go?
So the, behavior change.
Yeah,
right?
What is behavior change? Yeah, you should just. The thing is that if we could get like one message across, it's like you all have phones in your pocket, and the city of Calgary and all these organizations out there, like I said, we're part of a big ecosystem. They have developed all of these materials for you, and so if you just look up City of Calgary Recycling textbooks,
mm-hmm.
they have that answer for you. If you have
right.
anything in your house that you're not. There's a really terrible saying in the waste industry called "If you don't know, throw it out." Like,
if you
don't know, throw it out. Like, that's kind of like the saying. I'm like, no, like you have a phone that'll tell you, and there's unlimited information on there
right.
about what you should do with different products. So,
right.
Whether you're renovating a house and it's a weird thing that you're not used to, or you're just bonding product, whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's just like take 30 seconds, like put Calgary City of Calgary Waste and Recycling, that item in Google.
Yeah.
And you'll get a full write-up on that item. And what
you guys need
this,
you
so.
Need an app.
Yeah.
You need an app.
Scan.
Yeah.
You gotta scan,
scan
the item.
Scan the product.
And it'll tell you where it
yeah.
goes.
Okay, yeah. App value.
Time to pivot again,
yeah.
Rob.
Come on.
If you don't know, Google the item plus recycling.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's got a nice
yeah.
ring to it.
It's too much. City of Calgary has a web page, which is a search engine, and you literally just go to that page, and you type in what the item is, and they'll tell you exactly what to do with it.
There you go.
So. That's the yeah, and then in terms of recycling, it goes to a material recovery facility or
right.
a MRF,
right?
Which currently the contract in Calgary goes to Cascades.
Okay,
there you go.
Yeah. Wow. Well, if I'm ever on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Calgary edition,
Cascade,
I'll
yeah.
totally nail that one.
That's
that'll
question.
Be the $1 million question too, because
yeah,
everyone's gonna
sure.
get that shit wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
where
does it?
I'd
go?
Like to phone a friend. I
yeah.
still got it, Rob. Where the hell does the blue bins go?
Yeah.
I know you told me, man.
Murph.
A Murph.
And Rob's been kind enough to put some really good recycling sorting bins in our ATBX space.
Yeah, yeah. Fill the void there.
We couldn't separate everything, because a lot of it, you know, depends on the landlord and facilities and contracts that are run through the building. But sometimes there are simple little things that you can change.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, little things add up for sure. All right, we got like 8 minutes left in theory, but we don't have to force the issue. But I feel like, Aiden, you've been in the dark again, man. Like, just kind of over there, like, drooling at all Rob's awesome answers
it's
and
true.
Stuff. Like,
yeah, not knowing where
just,
waste or recycling goes.
Yeah, yeah,
sorry,
getting put on the spot.
10-year-olds are smarter
there,
than
kids.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. That was well,
there's a whole TV show on that about how kids are smarter than you.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah,
it's
fair.
True. And it's like
it.
Almost always right.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids
part.
Always get the questions right.
Yeah.
yeah. Huh.
Good. Okay.
I went to university. That's
yeah.
it's really working out.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
That existed.
It's,
all right.
You can't keep up with the 10-year-olds, man. That's the thing.
Too
They're
advanced.
Smarter than us by 11. For sure. There's so much information. Well, I don't know. What about Tool Shed? I know we mentioned you guys a couple times. Maybe think about it. We got
yeah.
8 of your beers here.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
one thing.
So, Graham, if you're listening,
yeah,
or maybe
yeah.
we should tweet out.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically going to email this
yeah.
directly
yeah.
to Graham.
So.
Like, hey,
yeah.
Graham, we just did a whole thing for you.
Yeah.
They're a great example of a cool local brand.
Oh, yeah.
They're
yeah.
like, if you look at the craft beer space and, you know, just when you think, like, oh, there's so many craft breweries coming up, how on earth do they compete with each other?
Yeah.
They're such a collaborative community that really supports, you know, new and up-and-coming brewers all the
yeah.
time.
Right.
And it's just, it's the understanding that if you get more customers who like craft beer, there is more room for more people to brew craft beers.
Right.
And they work together to build a market out.
They did, the cool thing about the cool story that I've heard about Toolshed is that they essentially were one of the breweries that paved the way for everybody else.
Right.
Because Alberta had some pretty terrible laws around craft brewery, and that there was a minimum amount of liters you had to produce per week.
Right.
That was kind of absurd in terms of like being like a small business. Like, you had to be a pretty large business to be able to meet that. And so that's why we only had Wild Rose and what's the other one? The other brewery they've had forever. Big Rock. Yeah, so we've
yeah.
had Big Rock, Wild Rose. And then in the last couple of years, those bylaws changed. That number was reduced like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. Toolshed played a big role in like changing that, and now we have I can name 10 craft breweries in Alberta and Calgary.
Yeah.
So, it's like, you know, not only are they a cool business, but they helped create a space for other small businesses as well.
Pave the way
for other entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I heard a story that they initially, when they started, they put their brewery in BC, and they were they just paid for an importer license, and then they were Alberta brewers. Like Albertans brewing Alberta beer, but they brewed it in BC and then shipped it over because the laws were better.
That's fine.
So, until Alberta changed the law, so that's how they played a role in that.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Just a wealth of knowledge over there,
right?
Just, you do okay on the 11-year-old or
whatever. Yeah, I do pretty good on the waste recycling and beer bylaw questions.
Yeah. I want to ask about the tiny house guy. Who's the tiny house guy?
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking we should do a shout out to Thomas.
Yeah.
So we've got two entrepreneurs in ATBX who they think of themselves as the kind of the baby in the group.
Yeah.
So one is Thomas from Vagabond Tiny Homes.
Right.
Such a cool kind of drive to create more opportunities for people to live sustainably, live small, people who want an alternative to typical large kind of suburban houses.
Yeah.
And he wants to bring both technological innovations, so things like solar panels and energy reuse, as well as kind of boutique styling and minimalist living to tiny homes.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, no, I'm pretty on board.
Super interested in that.
Yeah, I'm super on board with that and into the whole trend. But
maybe you could join his tiny home village.
Yeah.
He has
I wonder if I could offer like free snow removal to the village in exchange for a home. I'd love that.
Yeah. I think we can shovel around.
Yeah, we'll be fine. It's a small sucker.
For 20 years or
something? Yeah,
yeah.
Forever.
Till I die. he's got
build,
a community though. Is that a real thing, or
that's what he's looking to build? So
yeah.
He's you know, building some interesting connections with CMHC, with sustainable housing groups to make this happen.
That's the biggest hurdle, that because I was looking into it and I kind of like the idea of not spending like $200,000 on a place and entering like the ownership market without a huge mortgage, and then in turn maybe paying it off either right away or within a few years. And then once I'm ready, maybe I live there for a bit, maybe I barely live there, but then it becomes kind of like a vacation place after the fact.
Yeah.
So I'm not maybe
Could
as,
Airbnb
I'm,
it
I'm
out.
Not quite as pure as like the true minimalist and the true like, or at least I don't think I am yet, but you never know once you actually got into that lifestyle, you might be like, this
live
is fine.
Yeah, exactly.
But either way, I thought of it in the sense a little bit rationally in that, okay, I make an investment of time and money for 3 to 5 years or something, and if I don't love it, then it's just a nice little quaint place I put near a lake, or you know, and then it's like, there we go, I already have a place of some sort. And if anyone follows this trend, you've probably seen how innovative and how awesome some of these places look nowadays. Like,
yeah,
they've thought
You're
of everything
crazy.
By now, because this has actually been around for like a solid decade.
Yeah.
Just kind of growing momentum over the last few years. But I'd like to talk to him one day. So hopefully he's around.
He'd love to. And
yeah,
he's looking to maybe partner with other businesses. So, you know, if you had a tiny home village, why not partner with Car2Go and have like a fleet of cars that can be shared right on the spot, and like what other services or
tiny
other services
everything.
To bring in.
Tiny
shit. Cars,
small
tiny
everything.
Homes.
Tiny everything.
Yeah.
Well, Rob just left us, which is nice. I'm guessing he had to urinate, but that's all right. So I don't really want these to run much more than an hour. I'm just going to play a song. If you guys have anything else you want to chuck out there, or you feel pretty good about the whole combo. You good?
This has been fun,
yeah.
Cody, and
it's
I'm really
good.
Looking forward to hearing future podcasts for
sweet.
Local Love YYC.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I agree. It's just been great. I love talking to people about their businesses and my business, and like we've kind of been saying, just getting the word out there and getting, just talking it out is super helpful.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Good. All right, man, you're at the conclusion. You jump back in just in time.
End, hey?
Yep. You got 41 seconds. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Specifically.
Yeah. No, just...
I think the best thing about like this space and entrepreneurs is that you learn so many different things about different markets and problems and society and and whatnot, and why people are doing what they're doing. Because the number one thing about being an entrepreneur is that you like have to defend. I think I was talking about this earlier. Like every time you, everything you do, every choice you make is something that you have to validate and defend everybody in your life. You can't just be like, I hate my job. You're like, well, you created your job, so it's like, how could you hate it?
Yeah.
Like, this is the life you wanted to live. You're living your dream. And I'm like, sometimes my dream's a little tough.
I can't complain about this because I created this thing.
A good point.
And so it's the entrepreneurs have to be really self-reflective or introspective a lot, because everything that you do, you chose to do. Nobody gave you a job description. Nobody gave you a schedule to manage. Nobody gave you things like that. So
you're responsible
always
for the good and the bad. And
yeah,
everything
you're
100%
responsible.
Created the
monster.
It. So being around other people who are in a similar space where it's like, it's pretty awesome. That'd be it.
Right on. Well, thanks a lot for joining.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Cody.
It was a good time. It was a little different than the first one, but still awesome in its own way.
Best of luck. Yeah,
I love it.
And this song actually belongs to a local artist who's sadly leaving to Toronto in like 2 days, but he's unbelievable live, and I'm trying to get him on to do a podcast, play live and stuff before he leaves, and he leaves Sunday morning, so
get it done.
Hopefully it works out.
His
name is Moel, or at least that's what he goes by. I don't even know his real name. This guy is like, I don't even know the correct word for it, but he's like, he's gonna be good. He's gonna
like
be good.
I like it. It's good.
Cool.
It's good vibe.
All right, that wraps it up. Thanks for listening.
Until you die. That's life. Never quit, man, no matter what it is. And that makes you funky, man.